Tonight is Wednesday, May 23rd. This is the Women's Mishnah Gemara Shir. We're up to Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. Over the last two Shiurim, we have focused on a machloikis between Rabbi Yishmael and Rav Ashi as to what the appropriate source is to determine that you are not permitted to eat basa b'chalav. The standard was offered by Rabbi Yishmael, the three times of lo tivashel gedi b'chalev imo. That was the standard. That's the one most people know of. We quoted Rav Ashi, who cited a different source, the pasuk in Acharei Mot, which states, lo tochal kol to'eva. Don't eat anything that might be defined or identified as an abomination by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What generates something to be called an abomination? The fact that the Torah prohibited something with that item. With basar b'chalav, it's that you're not permitted to cook it. With something else, you're not permitted to plant it. So whatever the Torah has put a restriction on it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu identifies it as a to'eva, because it wants you to stay away from doing epis, something, and once epis is wrong with it, you are not permitted to eat it. That was Rav Ashi's opinion. And we explained why he doesn't like the other one, why he doesn't like the other. Tonight we're going to see a third possible source as to why basar b'chalav is prohibited, and it is cited in the name of Reish Lakish, and it's somehow rather difficult that he sees it this way, but it teaches us something about drashot. Omar Reish Lakish, this is Kuf Tet Vav Amud Aleph and Chulin, said Reish Lakish, Minayin Lebasar Bechalav She'asur. How do I know that you are not permitted to eat meat and milk cooked with one another? Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, Al Tochlu Mimenu Na Uvashel Mevushal. This has nothing to do with basar b'chalav. This pasuk is talking about Korban Pesach. And the Torah has two restrictions in this phrase. One, al tochlu mimena na, which means raw. Don't eat the Korban Pesach raw. Apparently, at those days, even before the arrival of sushi, people ate meat raw. If no one ate it that way, I don't think the Torah would have to tell us not to eat it that way. And you are not permitted to eat it after it has been cooked. Uvashel. It has to be roasted. Ki'im tzli'esh. Only roasted over a fire. But the Torah uses two words to teach me a simple halacha. You're not permitted to eat it when it is cooked. So why does the Torah have to say, uvashel mevushal? It could say, al tochlu na u'mevushal. Al tochlu na u'bashel. One of the two is all that is necessary in order to communicate the pshat. That's for sure. However, now the Gemara asks, She'ein Talmud Lomar Mevushal. The word Mevushal, which is the second phrase, the second verb which identifies cooking, should not have been written. She'ein Talmud Lomar Mevushal. You should not write the word Mevushal in the Torah text. Ma Talmud Lomar Mevushal. Why does the Torah tell us Mevushal? Lomar lecha, to teach you, yesh lecha bishul acher shehu kazeh. There is another type of cooking that is prohibited, like this one is prohibited. Ve'ezeh, which one is that which it's prohibited? Zeh basar b'chalav.
That's a stretch.
Okay, it's a very big stretch. So, again, for the benefit of those who came late. We are... It's okay. Yeah. We are tonight studying a third possible source for the prohibition of eating basar b'chalav. We had the standard one, three times lo tevashel. We had Rav Ashi, lo tochal kol toeva. Tonight is the third one. The pasuk writes in Parshat Bo, Shmot chapter 12, verse 7, that the way you have to eat the Korban Pesach is al tochlu mimenu na. You can't eat raw meat. And uvashel muvushal b'mayim. You can't eat the Korban Pesach if it is cooked in water. And I translate it like that because that's what it says. Uvashel mivushal. Cooked in water. So Reish Lakish asks a simple question. If it only had said cooked once, I would know what it means. You're not allowed to eat it cooked. Why do I have to write cooked? It's to tell you that there is another item, when cooked, you are not permitted to eat. What is that other item? Basar b'chalav. That if you cook milk and meat, under those circumstances, you are not permitted to eat it. That's what the Gemara said. Eizezeh ze basar b'chalav. So just a reminder, and I'm going to make a comment. I'm going to remind you about something. I talked about this Sunday in Bnei Yeshurun, the burgers were there. And I want to add something in the name of the Rambam, which I didn't elaborate on there. I've told you many times that Midrash Halacha, when people take a pasuk and interpret it in a manner which doesn't look terribly compelling or convincing, it indicates to us that this type of midrash is what is called midrash mikayem. In other words, before Reish Lakish became a frum boy, because as you well know, he was Al Capone. That's what he was. He was Al Capone, the biggest gangster of his time. Rabbi Yochanan had a beautiful sister, and he told Reish Lakish, he ran him on the street one time, and he said, if you will become my student, I'll let you marry my sister. And he wanted to marry his sister. That's what happened. And then he became his student. And became his best student. In fact, the Gemara in Brachos tells a story that Rabbi Yochanan, unfortunately, had terrible yesurim in his life. He predeceased all 10 of his children. They predeceased all him. He buried 10 children. And he actually lost his mind after a while. And all of the Talmidim tried to come and, you know, make him feel good. So what did they say? Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, you taught us so much Torah. You know, you have so much reward. So he gave, first of all, two statements. Number one, he said, I'll trade my whole Olam Haba for one of my kids back. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't need lo miduv sheikh, the lo miukt sheikh. I don't need your honey, then I'm getting Olam Haba, and I don't need your sting. Please, Rabbi Nishan, give me back one kid. He told all. But all the Talmidim tried to make him feel good. They just mouthed all of his Torah. They just repeated. So he said, you think I need you to tell me that I know what I'm talking about? Reish Lakish argued with me all the time. He made me think. He challenged me. That's what a Talmud has to do. Not just agree with everything the Rebbe says, but hold him accountable. Tell him, you know, why there's some difficulty in his interpretation. And that's why he appreciated Rabbi Yochanan to an enormous extent. Even though here Rabbi Yochanan is going to, sting him a little in one second. But that was Rabbi Yishlakish. So Rambam tells us that if there are multiple interpretations of a given prohibition, that is one of the telltale signs that it's a Medrash Mekayim. In other words, this halakha that you're not permitted to eat milk cooked with meat was told by Moshe Rabbeinu to Yehoshua ben Nun. But it was part of Torah Shebaal Peh for a couple of hundred years, a couple of thousand years. Then, when there were attacks on Torah Shebaal Peh by various sects, they were looking to hang the biblical hat, or the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition prohibition, they were looking to connect it to the Torah. So anything they could think of to squeeze in a biblical prohibition is the way they did it. So whenever you have multiple interpretation, says the Rambam, that you know is not something that was just created at this time. Because if it was just created, what do I need somebody to tell me, hey, they created it. What's wrong with my, you know, that pasuk wasn't good enough for you? But if you only have one interpretation of a producing a drash, that might have been a creative drash. In other words, the prohibition or the mitzvah didn't exist until the rabbinic interpretation of that particular pasuk. So here, Reish Lakish, we already saw, like I said, Rabbi Shmuel, Rav Ashi, now Reish Lakish, all of these are saying the same thing. There will actually be a fourth possibility as well. Good. So take a look at the bottom Tosfos for just a moment. She'ein Talmud Lomar Mivushal. The word Mivushal should not have been written. Says Tosafot, let lei l'Reish Lakish hanach durashot didarshinan besof perek kol sha'a. Reish Lakish does not agree with, let lei l'Reish Lakish hanach durashot, the rabbinic inferences that are made from the extra word mivushal in the second parak of Masechet Pesachim. What does the Gemara say? Mina tzla'o v'achar kach bishlo. That what happens if you did two things with a piece of Korban Pesach meat? First you put it on the spit and you roasted it, and then you decided to cook it. Are you allowed to eat it as a Korban Pesach or not?
No.
So the Gemara learns out from the extra word mivushal that you know what that means? That even if it had been roasted previously, you are not permitted to eat it if you subsequently cook it. The only way you can eat a Korban Pesach if it's exclusively roasted. Now that is a good drash from this pasuk, because we're talking about Korban Pesach, that fits in perfectly. Or a second drash which Reish Lakish ignores, oh, Lisha'ar mashkim. Typically speaking, cooking takes place with H2O, with water. That's the way cooking normally does. What happens if I decided to marinate and cook my Korban Pesach meat in orange juice? Maybe that's not a violation of Al Tochlu Mimenu Uvashel. Maybe it doesn't. Therefore, the Gemara says, a second opinion says, that we darshan, it's not only when you cook something in water, even if you cook something in any other product, in wine, in juice, it's all asur nonetheless. Those type of drashot make sense, because they're sticking to the topic and doing something which I could have imagined may not be, I could have imagined it's not us. Maybe when the Torah has in mind bishul, it's what most people do cooking in, and that is cooking in water. In water. Yeah. Now, I bracketed Rashi, And Rashi was very careful to say something at the conclusion of Reish Lakish's statement that not only are you not permitted to eat Korban Pesach that has been cooked, but you are not permitted to eat Basar Bechalav that has been cooked. Says Rashi, Shehu Kazeh, there is something else that is like this, like the Korban Pesach, She'asur be'achila kazeh. She'asur be'achila kazeh. Can anybody identify what do you think Rashi is coming to tell me above and beyond the simple pshat? If I had not seen this Rashi, and I had not read it to you yet, and I promise you I didn't even look at Rashi yet when I prepared this Gemara. I did not. It's not that difficult to figure out. It's not a state secret. But what are we talking about? Eating. Because it says, Al tochlu mimenu na. Don't eat Korban Pesach raw or cooked. So now the Gemara is saying that the word mevushal applies to something else. Something else that is what? Asur ba'achila. So what did I need Rashi tell me something that me, I can figure it out with Rashi. That's not what Rashi is all about. Rashi is coming to tell us something. We already have enough information in your computer to tell me what do you think Rashi is emphasizing? Emphasizing.
Like this.
No, nothing like this. It's his comment. Shezeh asur be'achila. What? What? Oh, exactly. To exclude Hana'a. Other benefit. Rashi is telling me that if I adopt Reish Lakish's opinion, under those circumstances, I may not be able to derive from this particular source a prohibition against deriving benefit other than eating from the pasuk. Because according to Rabbi Ishmael, he was our first source, he said, because the Torah writes Lo Tivashel three times. Once is for Bishul, once is that you're not allowed to eat, and once that you're not allowed to have anah. Rav Ashi, who said Lo Tochal Kotoeva, the Gemara said, remember how the Gemara said that how does he prove that the prohibition of Hana? Because he adopts Rabbi Avohu. Whenever I say Rabbi Avohu, you should jump up. I know what he says. That whenever the Torah writes, Lo Tochal, Lo Yochal, or Lo Tochelu, what is included? Not only in Isur Achila, but also in Isur Hana. Rashi believes that Reish Lakish doesn't agree with that. Because here it says, Al Tochlu. It could have been including Hana. But Rashi doesn't believe that Reish Lakish adopts that opinion. And therefore Rashi emphasizes that this is only an Isur Achila. That's why Rashi says what he said. Because just to teach me an Isur Achila, I don't need Rashi, I could have figured that myself. But to tell me that it's only an Isur Achila, that I would never have known. I could have imagined that Reish Lakish also will shake hands with Rabbi Avohu, just as Rav Ashi did, who learned it out from the phrase, Lo Tochal Kol To'eva. Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about the Korban Pesach.
Yes.
So you're saying we can't... It's the same way we can't eat the Basar Chal, we can't eat the Korban Pesach.
Just as you can't eat the Korban Pesach, can't eat the Basar Chal.
Right. So, but with the Korban Pesach, so there's no problem. There's no Isur Hana'ah there.
Of course there is. It's a Korban. All Korbanot are Asur B'Hana'ah except to do the mitzvah.
Right.
All Korbanot.
Right, so if I took the Korban Pesach and I cooked it the wrong way, I did not roast it.
You have to burn it.
Can I get Hana'ah out of it?
Absolutely not.
So
you can't. But not because of this pasuk. It's a general thing.
If I looked at it from this,
because the Gemara expects you to know just a little more.
No, but
a little more.
I know. And you're saying it's like this. You compare saying because just like you can't have an ad here. You just have a chila, we're not talking about enough.
Correct. Because this is not the address for the Isur Hana of this Korban Pesach that was cooked as opposed to broiled, roasted. This is not the address. The address is in another pasuk, which tells us that any time you disqualify a korban for any reason under the sun, the korban has to be burnt. Not this is not the address. What? Because Rashi said, Resh Lakish is telling us, minayin lebasa b'chalav she'asur. Asur in what? Asur in what? Give me two possibilities. Asur in achila only, or not only in achila, but as well in hana. So Rashi is telling me, don't get it confused. It's not asur b'hana based on this pasuk. Not. So a korban has another address, but basa b'chalav may not have another address according to Rish Lakish. We just don't know yet. Let's continue. Amale Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, his brother-in-law and Rebbe, said to him, Amale Keura Zu Sheshana Rebbe. Zu Sheshana Rebbe? Is that which Rebbe said rejected? An abomination? Is it ugly? Why do you have to darshan in your own halacha? Why couldn't you agree with Rebbe as to what the source of what basa b'chalav is? Ke'ura zu shishana Rebbe. Look at Rashi on the top of the page. Kilomar v'chi michu'eret hi be'enecha. Mishne zu shishana Rebbe is the Mishnah which Rebbe taught us, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, he's called Rebbe, is his interpretation ugly, disgusting, that you had to come up with your own little interpretation? The limda lebasa b'chalav mikra hazeh. He learned out basa b'chalav from a fourth possible source. So why you, Rish Lakish, do you have to not? What's wrong with Rebbe? What's wrong with Rebbe? What did Rebbe say? Rebbe said, it says, Lo tochlenu. Lo tochlenu. There is a, let me see if I brought it here. Yes, I did. Go to page number 6 for a second. What?
Is that for Stan
Mitchell? No, not quite.
You went back to regular class?
Yes, yeah. Because you know why? Today, during the Chumash, everybody sat there like a klutz. I tried to put the pages there, and nobody reacted.
I think we all
told this is Glyde Torres, and this is Judge. Nobody got excited. Only one or two people got excited. The rest of the people just sitting there like a klutz. I got to entertain. If they're not entertained by putting baseball numbers down, so we'll go back to your boring numbers.
Well, our group likes it. So
what?
Like
okay.
It. Like
next, promise you, you got it next time.
Yourself.
Yes, that is correct. So now, this is Parshat Re'eh, and I want you to look at the following pasuk. Look at Chaf Gimel and Chaf Dalid and ask Rebbe's question. Look at Psukim, Chaf Gimel and Chaf Dalid and ask the question that Rebbe asked for his students, just like I'm asking you. What question did Rebbe ask?
Chaf Gimel already says not to eat it.
Yeah.
So why do you...
What is it talking about?
The blood.
Mm-hmm. It says in Chaf Gimel, Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Hadam, that although I am going to allow you to eat meat, this unit is called Bisar Ta'ava. Bisar ta'ava. Masa ta'ava. That you desire. In the midbar, if you or me wanted a roast beef sandwich, I had to come to the Mishkan and bring a korban shlomim. That's what you had to do. But if I wanted to eat a roast beef sandwich not in the category of a korban, not allowed to eat it. Not allowed to eat it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Perek, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ki yirchak milcha hamakom. If we come into Eretz Yisrael and build a Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on the Har HaBayit in Yerushalayim. And you happen to live in Tel Aviv, or Baybrick in Bnei Brak, or Haifa, or any place, in Modi'in. Every time you want a roast beef sandwich, you're going to go to Yerushalayim, because you're not allowed to bring a korban. Once they entered Eretz Yisrael and they built the Beit HaMikdash, a bama was prohibited. You were permitted to build a bama, a personal mizbeach, in your backyard during the initial entry where the Mishkan was still traveling around. It was in Gilgal, it was in Nov, it was in Shiloh. But once the Beis HaMikdash was built, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's it. And even if after the Beit HaMikdash has been destroyed, the Heter Bamot shall never return. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki yirchak mimcha hamakom. If the Beit HaMikdash is going to be far away, I have rachmanis on you. I don't expect you to eat rice meal and cottage cheese until you get to the Beis HaMikdash and offer a korban so that you can have a roast beef sandwich. No. I allow you to bring it. But the Torah says, be careful, rak chazak levilti achol adam. Ki hadam hu hanefesh, velo tochal hanefesh im habasar. Good. Black and white. You're not allowed to eat the blood. Why do we need the next pasuk? Lo tochlenu, ala aretz tishpachenu kamayim. Who needs that entire pasuk? So Rebbe will say that since the Torah prohibited eating, he starts with achila. So I'm going to apply the second time lo tochlenu not to what? To dam, but to basa b'chalav. To basa b'chalav. Even though that's almost as big a kvetch as Reish Lakish, especially since the pasuk. Exactly. It says tishbechenu kamayim. What do you have? Meat and milk out of tishbechenu kamayim? What's going on here? It's well beyond forced. Well beyond forced. But when you go into the kollel and you'll spend 12 hours a day learning, maybe 10, maybe 8, you'll see, you'll come across these things 20,000 times a week. That's what happens when you come across it. So that's the pasuk which Rebbe darshan. Now let's go back to our Gemara. So look at the top line now again. Lo tochlenu, the second lo tochlenu, bibasa b'chalav hakasav medaber. Asks the Gemara, ata omer bibasa b'chalav. You are saying that extra lo tochlenu happens to mean what? You're not allowed to eat basa b'chalav. Oeino ela be'achad mikoli surin shabbatorah. Maybe it means something else that you're not allowed to eat. There are lots of things in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat. How do you know to apply this to basa b'chalav? Oeino ela be'echad mikol ha'esurin shabbat Torah. Answers the Gemara. Amrit tsei ulmad. Miyud gimel midot shehatora nidrashet bohen. I want you to use and employ one of the 13 ways of interpreting the Torah text. It's in your Sidur, right before Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. If you have Nusasvad, it's right before Haidi. Right before Haidu. It's the last thing in the unit called the Korbanot. And it's Rabbi Shmuel Eimer. Every shul in the world says it because you want to get the Kaddish to Rabbanan in if somebody's an Ovel. And so they skip most of the kabanos. Now they say Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. Fine. One of the 13 midot is Davar Halameid Me'inyano. You have to learn something from the general topic from which we're learning it. You have to Davar Halameid, you learn out something Me'inyano, from its context. Not necessarily because the word means it, but from its context. What does this mean? Bameh hakatuv midaber. What is the Torah talking about here? Davar. It's talking about what is bameh hakatuv midaber bishnei minim. Bishnei minim. With two different types of food. Two different types of food. So let me finish the phrase. Two different types. Shnei minin. Afkan. Here too, in the pasuk of Lo Tochlenu, I have to apply it to something that is created through what? Two minim. Now, the application of two minim is very abundantly evident. Basar b'chalav is two minim. It's milk plus meat. But what is the original pasuk talking about that is two minim? So go back to our page 6. Go back to page 6 for a second. There is a third time when the Torah says Lo Tochlenu. Not only Chav Gimel, not only Chav Dalid, but what does it say? In Chav Hey. Lo Tochlenu. Leman Yitav Lecha Ulebanecha Acharecha Ki Ta'aseh HaYashar Be'enei Hashem. Good. What is that Lo Tochlenu refer to? Take a look at, now go back to page number 2 and read the Rashi. Shnei minim. I'm going to tell you what Rashi's commenting on. That's why I told you to look at it. Bishnei minim. Psulei hamigdoshin sheniftu shnei minin hein. If I have a korban that was disqualified, not because I did something wrong with it. It became disqualified based on something that just happened. Can anybody take a wild guess? What might have happened to this animal, which I dedicated as a korban, and now I cannot bring it on the mizbeach? Can anybody think of something? Excellent. It got a mum. Correct. A mum. That's correct. A little blemish. A blemish that renders it a defect. That's a defect that renders it a trefa or whatever it is. So the Torah says, you are not permitted to bring a balmum on the mizbeach. So what do you have to do? You have to redeem it. And the money is now used to buy a korban. You eat the korban that had developed a mum, and now you redeemed it, you eat it. Any place you want. No restrictions. But there are some restrictions. Number one, you are not permitted to shear its wool. You are not permitted to drink its milk. The only thing you're allowed to do is eat, shecht it and eat it. You cannot work it to pull your plow. So Rashi says, this illustration is two minim. The same animal has two aspects to it. The same animal. On the one hand, it can be consumed like ordinary roast beef. But on the other hand, it still has restrictions against other uses. So that third pasuk, Lo Tochlenu, which is being applied to psule korban of a mum, that mum is perceived and identified as what? As tuminim. So therefore, says Rebbe, the previous pasuk, Chaf Dalid, must also be talking about something with tuminim. What is the other thing of tuminim? Basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav. Again, the word lo tochlenu, or not to eat, appears three times. The simple reading, the way you would translate it to your son or daughter if they ask you what's the pshat of the pasuk, is that three times the Torah is telling you don't eat blood. The first time the Torah says don't eat blood. Second time it says don't eat it and spill it on the ground. And the third time, don't eat it and I'll be good to you. Leman yitav lach. Rebbe can't tolerate that. So therefore he applies the third time to psule hamukdashim, a korban that became disqualified because of a mum. You're allowed to eat it after you redeem it, but you're nonetheless not permitted to use its wool, not permitted to drink its milk, you're not permitted to work it. No other benefit other than digesting the meat. Nothing else. Well, since Pasuk Chaf Hei is talking about Shnei Minim, he believes that the drash from Pasuk Chaf Dalid should also be talking about something that highlights, that has the characteristic of Shnei Minim. What is something else that fits into that category? Basar b'chalav. So, Rabbi Yochanan thinks, hey, Rish Lakish, what do you need Korban Pesach for? I got this such a convincing thing from Rebbe. What do you need your thing for? Is it terrible? Is it ugly? Is it disgusting that Rebbe said what he said? From this kasha, we start nish from the kasha. Yes, what?
I'm just surprised that he said we got the great thing from Rick when there are other things he could have, our first two.
Okay. Okay, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. But I want to show you how there's another very, very famous halacha that looks at the same item as potentially tuminim. I want to show you how this idea, we're talking about the same animal. It's psule hamukdashim. Because it has halacha A, you're allowed to eat it, that's one category, one min. And now it's like another species because I can't shear the wool, drink the milk, that's another category. I want to show you another halacha where this idea is applied. If you go to page number 8, on the bottom of the page, the topic is this is a tshuva of the Rav Yah, one of the great Ashkenazic scholars. Nobody ever looks into the Rav Yah except Ravon Lichtenstein. He was a master on these not well known. Bali Atosis of Ashkenaz, the Rivan, the Rav Yah, Rabbeinu Yoel, he just knew all of those opinions. They were not the mainstream because they weren't printed until very recently. They were never printed en masse. So the halacha everybody knows, which he talks about, Chametz b'Pesach b'Mashehu. Chametz b'Pesach b'Mashehu. If I had a kosher vegetable soup cooking and a piece of non-kosher meat falls in, tell me how you're going to paskin that halacha. What do you have to do? Meising tam. That's correct. That's the first one. So you'll give it to whom? Who? No, you can't taste it. A guy, yes. What's his name?
Beefsteak
Charlie. You'll ask him to taste it. If he says, I noticed the meaty taste, you're not allowed to eat it. If he says it tastes like vegetable soup, you're allowed to eat it. The Rama already said, we don't rely on beefsteak today. So now, what's your next criteria? Shishim. measure if they're a shishim. Okay? That's very simple. See, you know how to handle 90% of the questions of kitchen mechanics. That's all you got to know. And one other one, of course. When was the, if it was the pot issue, when was the last time you used the pot? But that, in this case, it doesn't make any difference because we're not worried about the pot, we're worried about the meat that came in. Fine. Now, yeah. What happens if we're on Pesach? I have a kosher Pesach vegetable soup and a drop of chametz falls in. Beefsteak certainly will never notice the bready taste. And it's not only shishim, it's 1,000 to 1 against it. What's the halacha though? You're not allowed to eat it. Why are you not allowed to eat it? Good. Because after Pesach, you're allowed to eat it. The only time that we rely on bitul is if you're not going to rely on it, what are you going to have to do? Throw it in the garbage can. Then we don't want you to throw it in the garbage can and we rely on the laws of bitul. But this, as soon as Pesach's over, no longer is a chametz.
If it would spoil.
What?
If it would spoil.
Then you can't wait. If it's going to wait, then it will become batel. If it can't, if it's going to spoil by the time Yontif is over, then you can eat it. Because then you have no choice. It's either garbage or rely on bitul. So here the case is, you can, it's going to be, it's the last day of Yontif, you can wait until tomorrow, no problem. The explanation for davar she, that's called davar sheyeshlo matirin. Davar sheyeshlo matirin. It has a heter. It has another heter. That's what it's called in the Gemara's lingo. Davar sheyeshlo matirin. This item has a heter stage awaiting it. Just means the passage of time. Good. But the way some explain it, mostly the Ran, says like this. You know why davar sheyeshlo matirin is mutter? Because we look at this combination not as heter and isur, but the combination is heter and heter. This piece of chametz, in order to use bitul, in order to use bitul, bitul has to have two things present. Something that is permissible and something that is usur. You can't apply the law of bitul to a mixture of two things that are what? That are permissible. You can't. Says the Ran. Since after Yom Tov, this meat, this vegetable soup with chametz in it, is going to become mutter, I don't look at the combination now on Pesach as heter and isur. That's what I need. I need this pot of soup to be shnei minim. In what respect is it shnei minim? Not because it's chametz and vegetables. In what respect is it shnei minim? It's a davar ha'asur and a davar ha'mutter. But since the next day, or whenever Pesach is over, this chametz is going to become permissible, he looks at the combination as what? Heter beheter. Heter beheter is not shnei minim. It's one, it's halachically one min, one item. And the laws of bitul don't apply when you have a mixture of two things that are permissible, because they're in the same category. They are both heter. The only time that we apply the law of bitul is if you have shnei minim in this pot. One davar ha'asur and one davar ha'mutter. I'll give you another example, just 1 second, of davar sheyesh matirin. You have the Gemara in Beitza. Beitza shenolda b'yom tov. A chicken laid an egg on yom tov. It's mukta. You're not allowed to eat it. What happens if that egg got mixed up with 10,000 other eggs? The halach is, you're not allowed to eat any of the 10,000. Because right after Shabbos, or right after Yontif, it's no more muktzah. It's the same idea. in order for muktzah to bittul to apply and to allow something for muktzah, it has to mean that this is asur and that's mutter. Since after Shabbos, after Yom Tov, the isur is going to dissipate and become a mutter, so Chazal look at this ta'arovet as not shnei minim, and as a result, bittul doesn't apply. That's just another example of where the same item now is not shnei minim. Yes. That's correct. Only when you cook it does it become prohibited. That's the chiddush of the Torah.
Right.
That's precisely the chiddush of the Torah. That's correct. That is correct.
That was the whole thing about the bread making.
That is correct. Why you are? Because if you have more than 60, you haven't created the isur of basar b'chalav, because the tam can't transfer. That's correct. That's correct. Okay, please go to page number 4 for a minute. And the Ramban is going to argue with the Tosfot that we read on the bottom of the page. Tosfot stated that if Reish Lakish is applying his prohibition, namely from Korban Pesach, from the extra word Uvashel Muvushal, it must be that he disagrees with the halachot found in Masechet. What Masechet was it? Pesach, where the Gemara said that the extra word comes to teach us that if you roasted it and cooked it afterwards, it's still prohibited. Or if you cooked it what in fruit juice, anything other than water. So Reish Lakish disagrees. The Ramban is going to say, now, Reish Lakish agrees with those two. So here is what Tosis, what the Ramban says. Six words into it, says, Ikol Medak, we can investigate, Ho afikte beshili perik shalkshah, we have used this extra word in the end of the second parak of Psachim, Ainli elobemayim. The first word, and it says, Uvashel Muvushal Bamayim, Sha'ar Mashkin Minayin. How do I know that you're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in any other liquid? Talmud Lomar, Uvashel Mivushal. That's why the Torah says the word Mivushal a second time. That it makes no difference what you cook it in. Cooking is cooking, and cooking is cooking, and it's prohibited. Fine. So now go to the third line, right in the middle. Ve'ikol ameimar, and one can suggest hachi. Dereish lakish, the hachi darish reish lakish. Lema kra, bashel bashel, o mivushal mivushal. My bashel mivushal, shma mino tarte. Says the Ramban, Reish Lakish can learn all of these halachot out. He doesn't have to reject that Gemara. Because there are two problems with the repetition of the Torah. The first problem is the repetition itself. That's the first problem. Why does the Torah repeat it? And the second problem is, why does the Torah repeat it in a different way? If you think it's necessary to repeat because you want to get other liquids in, say ubashel ubashel pamayim, or mivushal al tochluna umivushal umivushal pamayim. Why bashel umivushal? Says the Ramban, Reish Lakish believes the following: the repetition is learned. What do you learn out from the repetition? That you can't cook it in fruit juice. And what do you learn out from the fact that the Torah changed the word? Basar b'chalav. So whereas Tosfot came to the conclusion that if our Gemara is true in the name of Reish Lakish, you have to disagree with the Gemara in Psachim that claims that the extra word is to teach us a different halacha. What is the different halacha? That you're not allowed to cook not only in water but fruit juices. So if Reish Lakish is saying that we learn out basa b'chalav, that you're not allowed to cook, he couldn't hold that halacha. So according to Reish Lakish, if you cook, according to Tosfos, if you cook the Korban Pesach in orange juice, you're allowed to eat it. You violate nothing. Says the Ramban, no. Reish Lakish could adopt that Gemara, plus his Gemara, his Drash. Because the Torah not only repeated the word uvashel mivushal, it changed the word. It could have said ubashel bashel or mivushal mivushal. Why did the Torah repeat and why did the Torah change the text? Therefore, one is to teach me no fruit juice and the other is to teach me no basa b'chalav. No basa b'chalav. Good. That's what the Ramban says against Tosfos. Against Tosfos. Now, do you happen to remember the first shiur, which was 3 weeks ago on this topic? Who was the author of that topic? Who was the author of Lo Tochal Kol To'eva as being the origin of the prohibition of Basa B'chalav? Who was he? Rabbi Shmuel was the three times Lo Sevashel. So who was it? Rav Ashi. Good. So now the Ran asks the following question. How come Rabbi Yochanan only ganged up against Reish Lakish? Hey, Reish Lakish, how come you had to have your own interpretation? Wasn't Rebbe's interpretation good enough? But when Rav Ashi gave his prohibition of Lo Tochal Kol To'eva, Rabbi Yochanan didn't bother attacking him. And the Ran says, don't give me the stupid simple answer. What's the stupid simple answer? Rabbi Yochanan lived 300 years before Rav Ashi was born. See, he couldn't have attacked him. Sister Ann, don't give me that stupid answer. Let the Gemara use the statement made by Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish. Let somebody else, a colleague of Rav Ashi, use that attack against Rav Ashi. How come nobody attacked Rav Ashi? Hey, what do you need this for? What do you need this for? What's wrong with Rebbe's interpretation? That's the question which the Ran on page number 3 asks.
Is that also Rabbi Huda who said it was a tzuria?
No, that's Rabbi Huda. That's Rebbe. Rebbe is Rabbi Huda. Rebbe is Rabbi Huda Anasi.
Rav Ashi?
Rav Ashi is the one who started off this whole shiur, this whole discussion, Lo Tochal Kol To'eva.
And then Rabbi, who's Rabbi Huda, adopted that.
No, he didn't. He, Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish, why didn't you adopt Rabbi Huda's drash of Lo Tochlenu? Right? That was Rebbe's drash from Lo Tochlenu. So he asked Reish Lakish, how come you needed the drash from Korban Pesach? What's wrong with this drash? Asks the Ran, well, how come, if it's such a good question and you're looking to challenge, how come nobody challenged Rav Ashi's opinion, who said that you learn it out from Lo Tochal Kol To'eva? It's got a whole complicated answer. All I need is the question. That's all I need is the question. The question. Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish sparred. That is correct. That's why he didn't ask. He They were both 300 years before Rav Ashi was born.
Right, no, but I'm saying...
But the Gemara will take something that was said by Rabbi Yochanan and launch it... Exactly, apply it. Why don't they launch it against Rav Ashi? And ask him the same question. Hey, Rav Ashi, if Rav Yochanan were alive, you'd be asking this question.
Well, a better question is Rav Ashi knew about what they had said.
That's
why didn't he say
good.
That knowing that they
good.
Were
so there must have
alive.
Exactly. Rav Ashi probably knew what Rav Yochanan had asked, and he dismissed it on hand and said, "I got my own thing. I can live without. I can live. Don't bother me." Why that? I don't know why he would say, "Don't bother me," but he didn't. But he didn't say, "Don't bother me." All right, we'll stop here and we will continue next above. There's one thing that I want to show you, a very important statement. I'll save it next week. Rip it out even. Yes. Next week? Yeah, Wednesday night. It's the only night of the week that I don't have a wedding. Crazy. Between this weekend and the end of June, I have 15 weddings. 15 weddings. Yes, one for a family, 14 from the shul. Yeah. It's great.